Welcome to The Gut Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist, and a fan of all things chocolate porridge. Let's get on with the show. So welcome to this week's episode. We're on episode 29. And this week, what I'm going to be talking about is, should you pay attention to BMI, your weight, your hip to weight ratio, all of these other kind of metrics and specific measurements that and numbers that we can be told, whether it's dress size, weight, height, all of these sorts of things. So that's what I'm going to be looking at today, is really kind of sharing with you my own thoughts and opinions of what really matters and what actually is really important. So this is really kind of like a follow-on and a little bit more in-depth from episode 19, where I looked at weight loss and the three metrics that actually matter. So if you haven't listened to that episode, then do head over to episode 19, because I kind of go into that a little bit more in detail. But I want to take a little bit of time to look at some of these actual kind of metrics, the things you're going to be chatted to about most. You know, if you go to a doctor's or to hospitals, they're going to be talking to you about potentially your BMI, your height and weight, and all of these different things. And what actually do we know about the research, and what actually matters when it comes to your health? You know, is your BMI the main indicator of how healthy you are? Should you pay attention to it? You know, how can we actually tackle that? So that's what I'm going to be looking at today. So do check out episode 19, because that really sort of lays the foundation of what I'm going to be talking about. But I felt like I wanted to go into a little bit more detail around some of these more numbery things that get used. And how do we manage that? And how do we manage it healthily? Because there's one option to just be, you know, you find out your BMI and you stick your head in the sand and do nothing. And then the other option is to let it make you feel like the ultimate failure. And neither of those options are great. You don't want to stick your head in the sand, because often these numbers and these kind of assessment tools exist for a reason, and they're often backed by bodies of knowledge and research. But equally, they shouldn't dictate your worth, because it's just a number. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. So before I dive in, just to let you know, if you're listening to this podcast when it gets released around the kind of middle to end of August, that I am running my final Beat the Bloat 5-day challenge, kicking off on the 24th of August. And I would love it if you joined in. So even if you listen to this on like a Friday or Saturday or a couple of days in, you can still come in and join us. It's my final free challenge of 2018, because I'm going off to have a baby and figure out all the joys of new parenthood. And it's going to be a great chance just to get some free coaching, free training, meal plans, support, accountability, and fun, most importantly, because I like to have fun and keep things fun and lighthearted and joyful. And also what I'm going to be doing is, during this challenge, is letting you know more about how you can join my Nourish membership, which is going to be the last time you can join in 2018. And that's only going to be open for a really limited period of time. I'm just going to do a special invite for people that want to come and join me. And over the next kind of coming 6 months, that's going to be the main place where I'm going to be. I'm not going to be doing one-to-one sessions anymore. I'm not going to be doing anything else. And with having a baby, all my kind of coaching, all my nutritional work, all my consultancy work is really going to be based within Nourish. That's where my energy is going to be focused. And so if you know you need some accountability, you need some group support, you need a structure, you need a program, you need to see results, and you want to end this year feeling supported and seeing some amazing changes in your body and in your health and in your energy and in your hormones, and Nourish is really the place for you. It's where together as a community, we create healthy lives and healthy habits that last and healthy relationships with food and healthy bellies and healthy hormones. And that's where I show up and spend a lot of time kind of coaching and doing all of that sort of good stuff. So make sure you join the challenge to find out more about that. You can join at supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/bloat. All the links are in the show notes. If you head to the website, there's lots of links there, and it would be so fun to have you. And if you want to know more about Nourish, you can go to supernaturallyhealthy.org/nourish and keep an eye on that page because the doors will be only open for a limited period of time. So that's all from me. Let's get on and talk about your BMI and weight and other numbery things. So when it comes to going to the doctors, we've all been in this scenario. Go to the doctor, maybe in the waiting room, and you see that chart up on the side that has your height and your weight ratio and the different colours. And you have a look, you look at your weight, you look at your height, and you desperately hope that you fall into that green category, the A-OK category of normal weight. Or maybe you go onto the NHS website and find the BMI calculator, and again you're desperately hoping that your BMI falls in the okay category, which I'm pretty sure is under 25, and that you're given the seal of approval that your numbers and your weight and your body is A-okay. I'm pretty sure we've all been in that scenario. Or maybe for you, you're not bothered about your BMI, you're not bothered about your weight, but it'll be when you go into the shop. And if you can just fit into those size 12 jeans, then you'll know, whew, it's okay. I'm worth it. This is all right. I'm healthy. I've got an okay body. It's okay. If I can just get into those size 12s or those size 8s or those size 14s, you know, whatever. Fill in the number with whatever the number is that works for you. I'm pretty sure nearly every female listening has been in that scenario at some point or another, where they've been desperately hoping to feel reassured about their health and about ultimately their self-worth by some form of number. And this is kind of, it's inevitable, it's sort of how our culture is set up. And I want to take a little bit of time today to just look at some of the facts and some of a little bit of the research and as well as looking at how do we manage this, especially when it comes to things like numbers, you know, your BMI, your weight to height ratio, your hip to waist ratio, the different kind of measurements that we've been kind of given and told that your GP might let you know about, if you're at the hospital or whatever it is, or even just, you know, your clothes size. We often feel a lot of, how healthy we are, or how worthwhile we are is dependent on, you know, our weight on the scale. Or, you know, we all have that weight that if we go above is just terrible. That might be 10 stone for you, that might be 12 stone, that might be 14 stone, whatever it is. We all have these kind of numbers. And how much attention should we pay to these numbers? I think that's a really difficult task and thing to figure out. And that's what I want to talk about today. How much attention should you pay to numbers? Because you might be like, yeah, Kezia, I want to embrace my body. I love my body as it is. But then I've read actually that, you know, the risks of diabetes and heart disease and strokes actually increases if your BMI is over whatever it is. Or if your weight to hip ratio is higher than a certain amount, then there's increased risk in other future diseases. And so how do you manage that in a healthy way? What do you do, and what really should you be paying attention to when it comes to your health? Do you need to be paying attention and constantly monitoring your body fat percentage and your BMI and your scales and weighing yourself every day? And that's what I really want to talk about today, because I think we get a little bit of either or syndrome. It's kind of like, if you want to love your body and care for your body, then, you know, doesn't matter about your health necessarily. Or the other way around, where people are so obsessed with numbers, it's not really about health at all. It's about fitting into a certain category and becoming that size 8 or becoming that certain percentage of body fat. And neither of those camps is particularly healthy to be in. But what's a girl to do? What's a girl to do? So let's look at some of these more, these number-based things, these kind of more medicalized assessments when it comes to your body weight and your health. So you have lots of different things out there. You have your BMI, which is your body mass index. You have those charts which kind of mark your weight and your height, and they'll kind of tell you if you're overweight, underweight, obese, very obese. There's different categories when it comes to your actual kind of physical weight. There's also measurements. So you have your hip to waist ratio, where you would measure around your waist and you'd measure around, so the smallest part of your kind of body, and then you'd measure around your hips, and you want to see a difference between those two things so that you're not just kind of all round. And you also have things like body fat percentage, and there's a couple of other things out there that you can look at. So let's first look at which of these things is potentially the most helpful. So all of these different assessment tools have come about through research and evidence-based things, but the robustness and the quality of them is relatively varying. So with your body mass index, how you really calculate that, you can easily find kind of BMI things, is based really around your weight and your height, your gender and your age, and a couple of other different factors put into basically a mathematical calculation that spits out a result that tells you whether you are healthy or not. Now, this would work brilliantly if our bodies were like machines and that we were all exactly the same, and that our biochemistry was the same, our genetics were the same, our metabolism was the same. We all had the same amount of muscle, and we all had the same amount of body fat, and we all had the same build, the same structure, the same bone structure, the same fitness levels. If we were all like little carbon copies of each other, then BMI could be quite a helpful thing to do. But as we're not, BMI is not something I hugely pay attention to with my clients. It might be something I keep an eye on, you know, that I'll often ask for clients' weight and a client's height just to get a bit of an idea of what's going on and where their weight is distributed. I might keep an eye on their BMI because there has been research done linking certain levels of BMI and with certain health issues and risk factors. So it's not, I don't necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater, but every single body is really different. So that's one area that assessment that you can use in terms of tracking your health and your weight. Another thing that you can use is body fat percentage. And so maybe you've stepped on a scale that's told you your weight in pounds or kilograms, but it's also told you your body fat percentage. Now, in an ideal world, your body fat percentage, if done correctly, can be a really helpful assessment. But the actual most accurate assessment for testing your body fat is actually this really expensive and slightly complex testing system that I'm pretty sure involves you being underwater in a low gravity environment in order to thoroughly test your body fat percentage. A lot of the body fat percentages that you're getting by just hopping on a scale is really dependent on how hydrated you are or not, and is incredibly inaccurate. So in an ideal world, if we all had loads of money to spend, we maybe could get our body fat percentage assessed, and that would be quite useful. It's really useful to know how much muscle you have in comparison to fat, because you could have, your BMI could tell you that you are overweight, but actually you've just got loads of muscle and you're really fit. I know a few people that maybe do loads of hill walking, rock climbing, mountain biking, that they've gone to their doctor and their doctor has told them they're overweight and need to lose weight. But when you look at them, they're just incredibly strong and fit people. You know, like a lot of, if you look at rugby players, a lot of their BMIs are probably over the normal amount. You know, they're potentially overweight, maybe even obese in the categories, but it's because they have a lot of muscle. It happens a lot with athletes. So, which again is one of the reasons why it's not the most accurate way of looking at it. And with body fat percentage, ideally that's a better assessment, but most of us don't have access to an accurate way of figuring out our body fat percentage. If you know of a more accurate way, that maybe a technology I'm not aware of, then let me know. But just kind of sending a slight electrical pulse through the body quickly on a scales isn't the most accurate form and changes a lot in the day-to-day and is a lot dependent on how hydrated you are, as far as I'm aware. So body fat percentage has a potential of being great, but most of us don't have access to it, and so therefore is not that useful. And the other way you can do body fat percentages by through basically like calipers. So you pinch people's fat, which I just think is pretty miserable to do. I've done it to people as part of my master's course in the clinical aspect. I've had it done to myself. And the accuracy of that, again, it really depends on who's doing it. If they're doing it properly, that can be slightly more accurate. But I actually think the process of that is a little bit depressing and demeaning, I don't like it as a process. I think it's a very disempowering assessment to do on someone, and I would never choose to do it on anyone or have it done to me. And I'm not too sure, again, of the accuracy of it, because a lot depends on the person's ability to do it, take the measurements accurately. So that's another way. And then another assessment tool that often can get used is your hip to waist ratio. So this is basically when you would take the measurement of your waist, and then you would take the measurement of the largest parts of your hips, and then you would basically want to calculate the difference and the kind of ratio between the two of those. And depending on where you fit into that, you might have a low, moderate, or high risk. Now, this is a ratio that is probably the one that, if I had to pick one with my clients, and I'll let you know, I don't actually continually assess or track my clients on any of these unless they have a particular desire to. But if I was going to pick one, it would be the hip to waist ratio that I think is potentially most useful and has the ability of being most tailored to an individual. So your hip to waist ratio, that basically is, we're looking at an indication of metabolism and an indication of your insulin management. So if the hormone insulin is a little bit wonky, then your chances are you're going to be storing a lot more weight around your middle. And it's this fat gathering around your belly can be an indicator that there's fat gathering around your organs, and that introduces a large risk or a much increased risk in future things like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, all of these different things. And also, what I like about the hip to waist ratio, it's not about whether you are quote unquote fat or thin. Your hip to waist ratio might be a little bit off. You know, you might have really skinny arms and be really skinny, like quote unquote skinny legs, skinny arms, but actually you're storing a lot of fat around your middle that could be this kind of visceral fat around your organs, and it's not healthy, but you're quote unquote still a size 12 and therefore, you know, whatever, deemed as healthy, because we've somehow believed this myth that thin equals healthy, which I'll talk about in a minute. it's not always the case. But the hip to waist ratio is a little bit, it's a bit of a better measurement for that. It's not as fattest, shall we say. I think a lot of these assessments basically demonize people who are heavier and judge them as being immediately unhealthy based on their weight or set of numbers, instead of actually doing some thorough investigations, because you can be quote unquote overweight, but actually still really healthy. The thing you want to look at is like your blood work and how you feel. So a hip to waist ratio kind of takes this idea of whether you're overweight or not out of the picture and really looks at, okay, where is the distribution of fat? And that is quite a helpful indicator. So that's probably your hip to waist ratio is probably the one that I find most helpful. And what I'll do in the show notes is I'll link to how you can calculate that, because that really gives us a little bit more of an indication of your insulin management, of your metabolism, and your body's handling of insulin plays a really important role in preventing all sorts of future diseases. And it plays a role in your sex hormones, in your fertility, in your mental health, in your gut health, in your weight, in your energy, in all of these different things. So when it comes to actual kind of more medicalized assessment tools, that is probably my favorites, my favorite one is your hip to waist ratio. If you want to figure out what yours is, then you can click the link in the show notes, or just Google hip to waist ratio to find out where you're at. But the problem with all of these measurements is that all of these things result in numbers and can make you a slave to a number. So it's so easy to figure out your hip to waist ratio, and maybe you are currently at a high risk, if you know, which is normally about something like 0.8685, as your result would put you at a high risk. And you can then feel immediately like you're a big fat failure, and that you're really unhealthy, and that it's terrible, and that, you know, go down into that spiral just because of a number. And so again, over in episode 16, I talk about what the three things actually we really want to track in terms of the metrics that really, really matter. But actually, you don't want to become subject to numbers necessarily. And while these things can be helpful indicators, it's also really, really worth realizing that we live in a culture that really judges and kind of really looks down on people who are heavier. You know, thin is better. If you're thin, you have no problems. If you're thin, you know, there's no issues. That's generally how our culture works. If you're thin, you're healthy. And that is not the case. We know from research, you might be actually, quote unquote, 2 or 3 stone overweight, but your cholesterol is healthy, your blood markers are healthy, you're not storing visceral fat, you've distributed your fat, your body fat in a balanced way in the body. Just because you are heavier than someone else doesn't mean you are immediately unhealthy. And we've really created in our culture this relationship that fat equals unhealthy. And the thing is, sometimes it does. Sometimes the fact that your BMI is like 32 or 33 is just one of the many indicators and the many assessment tools that is telling us your body is struggling and it needs some help. But it's not always that way. And there's more and more research coming out about that, this idea of kind of fat on the inside and thin on the fat on the outside and thin on the inside, which is a horrible way of, it's called faux tea or something. And then there's toffee, which is thin on the outside and fat on the inside, where actually if you look at someone's visceral fat and their biomarkers and their blood test results, they are showing up as incredibly unhealthy, but they're maybe still a size 12, whereas someone else might be a size 20, but actually their cholesterol, their, you know, there's every other assessment tool is telling us that they are really healthy. And we have created a culture that judges people who are overweight, and we have a culture that tells us thin is better. And that is not always the case, which is why it's really important that when you look at these assessment tools, you do not just rely on one thing only. You cannot just rely on your weight to assess how healthy you are. You can't. You could be at a quote unquote healthy weight and feel like crap. I'm sure many of you listening are like, you know what, Kezia, your weight's not a huge issue for me, but I'm exhausted, I'm fatigued, my digestion's rubbish, and it's got nothing to do with your weight. And for others of you, maybe you are carrying 3-4 extra stone and you do feel like rubbish. You know that weight is affecting your health. It is affecting your joints. It is making you more uncomfortable. It is making you more in pain. And there might be other people listening that know they're a couple of stone overweight and actually are the fittest they've ever been. They feel like their digestion's the best ever been. They've really been working on their health and they're feeling the best they've ever felt. So it's really important that when we're talking about these kind of assessments, that actually numbers alone, one set of numbers, one little combination of numbers does not decide how healthy you are. You've really got to look at a spectrum of different things. It's not to say that you want to completely disregard your weight and completely disregard your hip to waist ratio, but it's one of many things, many bits of information that you want to take into consideration. Because in episode 19, I talked about actually, you know, you want to really track how you feel. You know, how much energy do you have? How fit do you feel like you are? How much pain is in your body? Do you feel like there's a lot of inflammation? Do you feel like you have lots of allergic reactions? You know, actually, what are some of your symptoms? Because if you're not having any symptoms, you're feeling great, you're sleeping well, but maybe you're a couple of stone overweight, but you feel great, then it doesn't matter. Like, you feel great. You're healthy. That's all good. But if maybe you're even, you know, you're a couple of stone overweight and your energy's rubbish, you feel like your fitness has really declined. Maybe your joints are starting to hurt with the extra weight. Maybe there's lots of inflammation going on. Maybe you feel like your thyroid's off, your adrenals are off. Then it might be that your weight isn't helping you to feel your best, but it's not the only thing that matters. It's not the be all and end all. It's that really, you've really got to, every single body is different, and we've got to, our medical system has got to learn that. And I think it will over time. So how do you feel? What are your symptoms? Those are one of the primary things you want to look at when you're assessing your health. How do you feel? Do you feel good in your body? Do you feel attractive in the skin that you're in? Do you feel pain? Do you feel like there's energy? Do you feel like there's inflammation? Those are the best markers you want to go by and the best metrics you want to assess your body with. That's number one. And then what you can start to then do is look at some of these more medicalized assessments, which can be really helpful and do have some research with them. You don't want to just disregard them completely, but they really aren't the primary way you want to assess your health and your self-worth. You really don't. So you might look at your BMI or your hip to waist ratio and think, okay, that maybe is, I am carrying maybe a bit of extra weight around my waist, and that potentially could mean that I am at increased risk of developing certain things in the future, according to research. So you then might want to, that's when you might look at that. But more so, I would say, than your BMI, your weight, or your hip to waist ratio, I would rely more on things like blood test results. So actually getting some blood samples and testing, like, you know, do you have high inflammatory markers? What's your liver function like? What's your iron like? What about your B12? What about your folate? How's your cholesterol and your triglycerides? You know, do you have low nutrients? How's your thyroid? Looking at blood work is a much better way of indicating your health than looking at your weight. It really, really is. You know, I have clients that come to me and are quote unquote, you know, slim, but they're not well, and we do blood work on them and you can see that they are not in a healthy place. And then other people will come to me. I had a client who by all standards was probably maybe 4 or 5 stone overweight, but she had a great GP. Her GP ran all numbers and tests on her, and every other aspect of her health, her blood markers were doing really, really well. And her GP said to herself, like, you're just a healthy, larger woman. She was having some issues with her thyroid, which got sorted out. And that balanced everything out. And she didn't need, she, you know, her cholesterol wasn't high. Her inflammatory markers went high. Her nutrient levels went low. You know, all of these different things. Actually, she was just a healthier, larger woman. And that was fine. And the blood work told us that. Whereas if we just looked at her BMI, she might have felt rubbish about herself. You know, she ate a healthy diet. She was active. She really looked after her health. She was very intentional about things. She addressed stress. She ate vegetables. She had fermented foods. She did a great job, but she was just a larger woman. And the blood test results showed that. Showed that she was overall pretty healthy, had a couple of thyroid issues, but there was no need for her to suddenly go on this crash diet to lose 5 stone, because actually her body was doing pretty well. So those are the things that I prefer people to focus on, is number one, how do you feel? And then run some tests. Look at your blood test results. Run some private labs like I do with my clients. Really dive in deep to what is your body actually saying. Is there issues? Is there inflammation? Is there kind of imbalances going on? And then the final thing you really want to pay attention to is these kind of weight assessment things. But really, your weight and your size is not the be-all and end-all. You can be incredibly healthy and several stone overweight. You can be incredibly unhealthy and several stone overweight. You can be incredibly healthy and at, you know, your quote unquote ideal body weight, according to these assessments, or you can be at your ideal body weight, again, air quotes, whatever that means, according to these assessment tools, and really unhealthy. And your body can be really, really struggling. We're all individual. And I really don't want you to feel bad or guilty about a set of numbers. Or just assume that you are unhealthy because you because you wear a certain size, because you have a certain BMI. It really depends on how is your health, you know, how is your energy, how is your pain, how's your hormonal cycle, how's your menstrual cycle, how's your skin. These are the things that matter, how you're feeling. And then when you, if you really do want to get geeky about it and gather data, run some tests and look at these things that actually matter, because they are the best indicators in terms of how your health is actually doing, because weight might be playing a huge role in your health and it might not. And I know that's, you might be thinking like, oh, it's as clear as mud, Kezia, thanks. But it's not black and white. No body is exactly the same. Nobody behaves in exactly the same way. And sometimes excess weight is a form of inflammation and it's a sign that the body is struggling. 100%. I see that a lot with clients. And when we balance out their health and then we bring a bit more balance and optimize certain systems, they start to lose weight. For other people, that's not an issue. Weight isn't, their actual weight and their body fat isn't the problem. So it's really figuring out of what is the root cause. And for a lot of people, it's not always their body weight. And having numbers dictate to you how you feel should never be the case. So should you pay attention to your BMI and to your weight? To summarize, I think if saying yes is you need to pay attention 100% of the time, I think you want to pay attention about 10%. I think at the moment our culture tells you to fixate on your weight, fixate on your BMI, fixate on your hip to waist ratio. I think you want to roughly know, you know, maybe once a year weigh yourself. That's literally, that's where I think it's at. Keep an eye on how you're fitting into your clothes, but really it's not the main factor that matters. The main things that matter is how you feel, what are your symptoms, and what does some good old blood tests tell you? What's actually going on in your body? What's actually going on in your cells? What's actually going on in your liver, in your systems, in your thyroid, in your cholesterol? That is the best indicator of what's going on in your body and your health. And your weight, your BMI, I don't think it's something that you need to fixate on. And please, 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 whatever you do, don't weigh yourself every single day. It's just a completely pointless thing to do. I've had a few clients that are just like, oh, I would just weigh myself every day. And that it kind of becomes an addiction. You just need to get your scales, smash them up. And then when you go to the doctors or once a year or once every couple of months, you weigh yourself. For me personally, I don't weigh myself very regularly. I'm currently pregnant. I think my midwife weighed me at the start. I've not weighed myself since. I'm not going to weigh myself now, even though I'm about to pop, because I don't really care. I care about how I feel. I care about how healthy I am. I care about my blood markers and the blood tests that I run for myself. I care about how healthy my baby is. I care about how I feel. That's what I care about. And once I've given birth to this baby, maybe in 6 months, I might weigh myself. I might do it then. But I'm actually going to be focused on how do I feel? What are my symptoms? And then I'm going to run some lab tests and check in with how my body is actually doing. And that is how I'm going to assess how healthy I am and what I need to work on. I am not going to decide I need to overhaul my diet just because I stand on a set of scales and it tells me a certain number. I'm going to do it if I feel like I need to because my symptoms and my bodies are telling me so, or because some blood tests and some lab tests tell me so. Because I've always been on the higher end of the scale. I've always been like on the borderline of normal weight, overweight, always. And so years ago, I just stopped paying attention to it and I started focusing on my health, not on my weight, not on my BMI, not even on my hip to waist ratio. I focused on how I felt and what my actual health was. And I cannot tell you how freeing that is. And if you do want to lose weight, if you are genuinely like, Kezia, yeah, but I really do feel like I want to lose a couple of stone, that's okay. When you work on your health, get to the root cause of why you feel the way you do, why you have your symptoms or your diagnoses that you do, then you will, and you bring balance to the body, your body will self-regulate and you will find yourself at its perfect, happy weight. You don't have to focus on weight and numbers and scales. It's the complete opposite way around. You want to focus first on health and then your weight will follow. It will. Time and time again, I've seen it happen. Happened with me, happens with my clients, happens with people in my Nourish community, You focus on health. And then as the body starts to rebalance and optimize and calm down and de-stress, then it will shed any excess fat that it's not doing, that's not doing it any good. It actually can be that simple. I know. You might be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it could be that simple. But it can. So I hope that has been really helpful. Any questions you have about anything that I've talked about, I am happy to answer them. Just head over to Instagram at Supernaturally Healthy or Facebook or in the comments in the show notes. Then just let me know any questions. I love hearing from you. And if you haven't left a review yet, then head over to iTunes to the ratings and review sections and leave a review. It's such a nice way of you just saying that you appreciate the podcast, and it's a way of growing and getting this podcast in front of more people to help more women feel more fabulous and to say thanks for all the time, money and resources that we put into, me and my tiny team, into creating this weekly podcast that hopefully is educational, inspiring, and is helping you to create that incredibly and beautifully healthy life that you really deserve and get to live. So sending you lots of love. Hopefully I'll see you in the Beat the Bloat Challenge. Otherwise, I'll see you next week. Bye.